Good morning and welcome to Finding Your Way Home, Real Talk on Real Estate. My name is Sherry Doherty and I have the pleasure of being your host every Monday at 10 a.m. If you are a regular listener, you know anytime there's music, I must have my very favorite special guest with me today. Today, because it is a civic holiday, I invited my husband, Terry Doherty, to join me on the air. And we're going to have some fun with a little bit of music that is home related. That's his favorite thing to do. As well as an Ask Me Anything. So thanks for joining me this morning, Tar.
Oh, well, thanks for having me on, Sherry.
I thought it would be really fun because there's a lot of things I'm following now online that are about spouse of a realtor. And there's a ton of jokes and things you might see on Instagram. And it's so true. You know, someone is driving the car while their partner writes an offer, or someone's driving the boat while their partner is writing an offer, or they're on vacation and their spouse is on the phone negotiating a deal so that they can pay for their next vacation.
Or someone's driving around in the rain and moving real estate signs.
Yeah, you are my hero. I will share with everyone, we did two open houses yesterday out in Rockport, and it was a torrential downpour. And my hero and my husband decided that he would pull down all the open house signs for me because it was literally horrific. And he had a hat, and he has man hair, so the hat and man hair saved him. But I took a really cute video of you from the inside of the vehicle.
Wrenched twice.
I know you did do it twice, so I sincerely appreciate that. But there's lots of fun, and absolutely, if you are the spouse of a realtor, you need to be incredibly patient.
Yeah,
and incredibly flexible.
Yeah, no, it was fine. It was just I wish I had it prepared for the amount of rain. I did not know that it was. What did they say it was?
Oh,
yesterday?
It was like a Florida downpour that you get in the middle
insane.
Of the day. The best part was, though, the house, we were literally about to do a promotional video, you know, one of those cutesy videos that says, come to my open house. And we were standing outside. And first of all, there were too many people, so we couldn't get it done, which is a good problem to have.
Yeah, there was a lineup to get in, which was crazy.
And then the second time that we finally had a moment to do it, it was pouring rain. But this particular house had a three-season sunroom. So I took a video where you can literally hear the rain pouring on the tin roof more than you could probably see me talking about the house, but it actually got lots of engagement. So
well, that's good.
I'm happy about that.
All right. Well, you've got me for 30 minutes.
I do. Ask me anything. What
All
do
right.
you?
So here's a question that people I always hear when I tell them. So why do you get a pre-inspection report? Why? What's the purpose?
That's a great question.
I know. People ask me all the time, why does Sherry do that?
Why do I do that? Well, the number one answer is because I want to know what I'm selling. I want to do a fair, good, clean transaction for everybody. There's a couple of reasons as well, though, that particularly for the seller, we want to know what we have, what we're selling. There's a known fact that most people, I think including us, because I asked you, have actually never stuck their head in their attic. So
not in this attic.
We've been in this house 15 years.
I know, but it's funny. I've never stuck it in this attic, but I've been in every other attic in our houses.
All right. Well, we've never stuck our head in our attic either. And sometimes when the inspector goes up there, she finds critters. So recently I had her tell me there was a rodent superhighway in someone's insulation.
Nice.
I also had her come and tell me that typically, obviously, I use a female inspector. She is my favorite, Nancy Pike. She's been on this show.
Yeah, she's great.
She is
fantastic. She's really good.
She found a bat infestation in someone's house.
Mm-hmm.
And then one time recently, she came down from the attic and pulled me aside away from the cellars with this really ghastly looking face and said, there's more mold up there than I've ever seen in my life. We need to break it to the cellars.
Yikes.
Right.
What, you got a bee's nest, too.
There was a bee's nest.
Or a wasp's nest or something?
Bees,
yeah.
That's one that I'm selling as well. But that actually, so this house went on the market in January because it was a winter inspection, I remember specifically. It now has taken that long, unfortunately, to sell because it's in a unique area. So they actually opted to get another inspection. And since January, this bee's nest occurred.
It's massive, too.
It's huge. And the buyer is actually allergic to bees. So one of the requirements on the part of the seller before closing is to get that bee's nest professionally removed.
Yeah.
And we have a date on the calendar already.
Yeah.
But back to the original question. So the reason is, though, that we want to get ahead of anything that might be a detriment to the sale of the home. So, for example, if the inspector goes through and finds something like mold or finds something like bats, let's get rid of them, because mold is going to scare people away. Just the word mold will make people not come and see your house. And if it is there, it has to be disclosed. So we want to get those things out of the way. We also want to know what we have so we can price accordingly. So if the house needs a new furnace and a new air conditioner and potentially a new roof, then we're going to do one of two things. We're either going to go ahead and make those upgrades before we go to market so we can recapture that money in our listing price, or we're going to account for it and we're actually going to list at lower than maybe what we would have thought, because those things that I just named there are anywhere between $30,000 and $50,000. So instead of listing for $550, maybe we list for $500. What we're doing in that circumstance, though, is we're taking the power out of the buyer's hand to renegotiate after their inspection, should they choose to get one. So what'll happen is you'll get a conditionally accepted agreement for, say, $550, and the buyer will get their own home inspection, discover those things that I just talked about, and then they'll say, well, we're only going to firm up on this deal if you take $50,000 off of the asking price or the agreed upon price. And we get to, in return, say, no, actually, we knew there's no surprises with the house that my team is selling. We know everything, the good, the bad, the ugly, and all the strengths of the house, and we price accordingly. So once we've got a conditionally accepted offer, then there is really no power on the part of the buyer to come back and say, aha, we found something, we want to take $10,000 off. So for that reason, we want to make sure that we're doing a clean, eyes wide open transaction for everybody. We want the seller to know, and I want to know, what we're selling and have the opportunity to decide whether or not we want to remediate or price accordingly. We also want to take the power out of the buyer's hands if they choose to do their own inspection. People will say to me, like, oh, you just paid for a clean inspection. I did not, because some of them are really bad. What I paid for is an honest inspection.
Yeah, and I think that's a fair assessment of doing it. Now, when it comes to doing those types of things, you find out there's mold in an area, do you then go and get a quote for the cleanup, or do you do the cleanup, or there's different options, I'm assuming, right?
Yep, there's a choice. So the one that I was talking about where she came down out of the attic and said, oh my goodness, literally within a half an hour, I had one of our favorite contractors there.
Yep.
We happen to be fairly well connected. I will do a little humble brag there, but a large part of that is because of you. So in your day job, you're very well connected in the insurance industry, and people know that. And so we have good friends in most of the repair and remediation companies. And I actually had Winmar out there within 30 minutes. So thank you to Luke and Pam, who happened to be in Brockville that day. And they literally popped by and came down, gave us a quote. In that particular case, we chose to remediate before we went to market because, again, I would have had to disclose there's extensive mold in the attic, and we didn't want to give anybody a reason to not even come see the house because it's actually a lovely house. And so we got that taken care of before we went to market. And in the end, it sounds big and scary, but it was actually less than a $3,000 remediation, which ultimately would have scared people away from the house.
Sure.
So in that circumstance, we chose to actually remediate, and I got one of our preferred contractors out fairly quickly to give us assistance with that. In some cases, we might choose not to. There are certain things you may end up, depending on the circumstances of the house, listing it as is, where is, and that the onus would be responsible on the buyer to discover any flaws or deficiencies. And people may also just choose not to. It might be too big of an issue for them to handle during their move time. And so, again, they'll just price accordingly. We might get quotes or estimates just so I can show people. I had one a couple of years ago that was up on a lake. I'm sure you remember because you went up there too many times with me to move signs around and go to open houses. But it needed a full new septic system.
Yeah,
straight up.
I remember.
Needed a septic system. We disclosed that, and we gave two quotes that said, one company said the full new septic was going to be $30,000 and the other company said 40,000, and we provided those in the listing documentation. So what the public sees on MLS is not always all of the information that's available to the realtors, which is why it's so important you work with a professional realtor. Because if you reach out to me and you ask me about a house, I'm going to provide you with the details, a lot of which you will have seen on MLS, but I'm going to provide you with any additional documentation. And often there's a survey. If it's a good realtor like my team, there's a pre-inspection. There are things like utility bills. I'm going to show you the history of the property's sales that it's had, as well as a full neighborhood report, all sorts of things like that.
Okay. Now, I think you were on the show. Well, actually, I know you were on last week talking about Alto.
I was.
And you've taken a position.
I talked extensively about Alto.
Okay.
I don't want to go too far down that
rabbit hole. No.
Interestingly, though, I will put a little addition to the conversation last week about Alto. So typically, I'm very neutral, and I started that show with the intention of providing the facts, both the pros and the cons, and I was not intending to take a position. Unfortunately, by the end of it, I couldn't help myself, and I did fall on that. I'm pretty sure I'm no Alto. However, I did speak to somebody this week, it was Friday, who was pro Alto.
Why?
And both of us, so actually, interesting story, we were up doing a wet inspection, which is the inspection of a wood-burning appliance, and yep. It was myself and my favorite inspector, Nancy, and the owner of the house, we were just chit-chatting, and said, oh, you know, making conversation, how do you feel about Alto? And he said, oh, I'm all for it, which was interesting because Nancy and I both stopped and went, what? I had never spoken to anybody who is for the Alto. And I listened because I'm curious and I'm open-minded and I wasn't going to debate it with them. Everybody's entitled to their own opinion.
Yeah, everybody's entitled to be wrong.
Terrence.
I'm just saying.
However, he really thinks it's a positive as it relates to pollution control. And that was on the points that I researched.
Actually, that's a great point. I never even brought that into mind. That's a fantastic point.
It is a good point. So he was talking.
How many people will Alto move at a time?
I don't know that level of detail. I do know that they were talking about removing cars from the highway and that the emissions from the cars that would be removed would be replaced by the Alto train. I don't know, and I think I said actually on last week's show, I'm not a scientist, so I don't know how many cars you have to take off the road to equal the amount of emissions that the Alto train's going to...
What is the Alto train running on, though?
I, again, don't know. Stop asking me questions. I don't know the answers
to. See, these are really interesting.
Not an Alto expert.
No, but next week's guest, you want to be prepared for that, I think, right?
Yeah, well, you're looking. I am very excited to share with everybody that as a result of this, on this week's next week's show this time, so 10 o'clock next Monday, I have our Member of Parliament, Mark Gerritsen, joining me on the show.
That's incredible.
I know. I am very excited about it. I did talk to the station manager and say, I should probably tell you, that Mark Gerritsen is going to be here next Monday at 10 a.m. So I'm sure we'll be talking about Alto then. And
well, that's why
maybe
I'm saying.
You could come and ask him all your harder questions.
Well, no, it's just interesting because if you think about the high-speed trains around China, Japan, well, especially Japan, they don't have an emissions problem. China does. They have a lot of cars on the road, and it's just smog city. And then you look at LA and stuff like that, where they have massive congestion.
Yeah.
They have a serious smog issue. We're getting that way.
Oh, for sure. So I, in fairness, said to him, I agree, and I appreciate, I do care about our climate, and I do want to control pollution. That is a great check mark for the Alto. I'm more concerned, though, about the price tag of it. And so I don't want this to be a whole nother Alto show because we talked about it last week. But the balance between are they really going to make that big of difference in the environment versus it was something like a $90 billion price tag. I do know there are other things in Ontario and Canada that maybe could be addressed with $90 billion.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's move on. Let's talk about apartments.
Okay.
Tell me what's going on here in Kingston's apartment market.
So are you talking about...
Rental and even leases and ownership. Well, let's talk about ownership, right? That, I mean, owning, what's the difference between a condo and an apartment? Let's start with that.
Let's go back to the first question.
Okay.
So talking about leasing, our rentals are less expensive than they were.
Okay.
So we were at a very, very low availability rate for a number of different years. Actually, Kingston had one of the lowest vacancy rates across Ontario, potentially Canada. I'd have to fact check that. But for a very long time, we had a very low vacancy rate and very high rents as a result of the law of supply and demand.
Sure. Is that related to university, the military?
All of it.
Really?
Yeah, we have a very transient population because a lot of people come in and out of here, either for university, for, you know, military transfers in and out. We
RMC.
Get people coming to the colleges for a couple of years, teaching contracts. We do get a lot of movement in our community, which is really good. We're actually now, though, at a place that it's not uncommon for me to see price reductions on a rental.
Really?
Yes. Yeah, so some people actually put a rental on MLS, and so it becomes part of the realtor database that I see. And on a regular basis, I see price reductions. So originally, say they were asking $1,700 for a two-bedroom, and then I'll see a price reduction that says $1,600 for a two-bedroom.
Now, is that because we have such a saturated market right now? Like, are we in a buyer's market or a seller's market?
Well, that's a lot of questions.
All right.
Well. so we'll get back to that if that's okay.
Sure.
There's a lot of that. Buyers and sellers are a little bit different from rentals.
Okay.
But essentially what we're seeing is we're just not in great economic times. And yeah. Renter or landlords, I guess, are being very, very cautious about who they rent to, because it's always been that we're very careful and the law falls heavily to the side of tenants.
Yeah.
And so because part of the issue, and this is kind of, it's a big ball of wax that we're going to talk about, but we are seeing a glut of sale inventory on the market because a lot of people bought great investment properties at really high prices in 2020 and 2021. Because interest rates were so low, you could get an interest rate of like 1.9%, and then you could buy it as an investment property. I know you've heard me say this.
100 times.
100,000 times. However, we're now on the 5-year renewal for those people's mortgages, and mortgage rates in a lot of cases have tripled since 2020 and 2021 when nothing was healthy and natural.
Well, okay, but 1.9 to
maybe 5.9, five? Yeah, let's call it.
That's not a crazy number. I remember my parents talking about mortgages with like a 10 to 17%. Yeah.
For sure. The issue to that, though, is you can't triple rent.
Ah.
Because remember the
landlord-tenant board
controls how much you can increase rent.
And what is that? Do you know offhand?
Not offhand, the current statistic. However, there is an annual amount posted that you can list or increase your rent, and you can't triple it. I know that for a fact. And so that's the reason there's a lot of inventory of investment properties up on the market right now.
So they're trying to sell them.
However, now because there's more inventory, the price is softer, and if you overpaid in 2020 and 2021, you can't sell it.
Uh-huh. Okay.
It's a big circle.
It sounds like a big circle of mess.
It's a big circle of nonsense. Absolutely. Yeah. So even I would say that I was looking at an apartment to rent just last week with an elderly gentleman who has a condominium that he owns, and his intention is to sell it just to kind of wrap up his affairs and things like that. And he just wants to rent, which is actually an option a lot of older people take. Even my mother took it for a long time. It was literally just, I don't want to deal with homeownership, whether that's a house or a condo. I just want to write a check to somebody once a month and make everything else their problem.
Sure.
That is a great option when you are a senior, because literally nothing is your problem. The point of this is I was looking at this apartment with this gentleman, and it was a really nice apartment, and he particularly was looking for one that was on the main floor. He wanted no stairs whatsoever because his knees and hips didn't work very well. And we literally found him a main floor apartment. There were 2 steps to go up the front door into the building, and then he was on the main floor. But if you were going out to the back parking lot where his car would be, because he still drove, 0 stairs.
Perfect.
So the point of that, though, is when I came across it, immediately sent it to him and his son, because that's exactly what they were describing. And it was listed for $2,100 a month. And he had said he wanted to spend around $2,000 a month. But I was like, rent's negotiable, which people should know that. Rent is negotiable. So just because somebody is asking for a monthly amount, you can go in and offer them a little bit less.
Okay, that's new to me.
So particularly if you're considering a long-term lease and if you're a good rating. I mean, they could get their full price, but they could get not great tenants who don't pay every other month. Or they could, you know, like I used to say about my mom, she was the greatest tenant ever. She was a little old lady who wrote you a paper check every month.
I was
going to
say post-dated checks that you
exactly.
had them.
And it never bounced. Yeah. So I would have let her in for a little bit less money, but no, I had her for 5 years and her check was never going to bounce. That's spectacular. However, interesting, because when we did go see the unit with him and his son, they offered it to him for $19.95, which was less than what it was advertised for.
Intentionally, right off the bat?
Yeah.
Did they think it was just, he was going to be a good tenant, non-issue?
I think so.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And there's even some that I've seen twice now that were, if you are a A-plus credit rated tenant and they approved you, they were going to give you 2 months free rent.
Wow.
Right. There's stuff going on.
So it's really a renter's or buyer's market right now.
Yeah. There's a lot of people with... In large part, this goes back again to the interest rate issue and the renewal that we're in right now. So, yeah, we're definitely in kind of flipping back and forth between buying and renting and whatnot. We're definitely in a buyer's market. People ask me, literally the number one question I get asked is, how's the market? And the proper answer is, it depends what you're trying to accomplish. So I like to talk about the fact that it does matter, the big macroeconomics of the world and the economy in Ontario and our city even. That all matters. But what really, really matters is your individual microeconomics. So is it your time? Do you have the income? Do you have the need? Regardless of what bigger things are happening in the world, if you need to move, you need to move. And we talk about this a lot, but the number one reasons that people move are either because, well, there's 5 D's, and I can't remember specifically what they are, but they're either diamonds, divorce, diapers, relocation, and I can't remember what the other D is, but that's okay. Basically, the big reasons are you're either getting transferred for work, you're either, you know, getting married, buying your first home, you either had a child, now you need a bigger home, or you are having financial distress as well as one of the other reasons. And if those are happening to you individually, it doesn't really matter what's happening in the rest of the world. You have to figure out how to make that work within your specific world. So what I'm telling people is you need to sit down and have an individualized conversation with your realtor. If you are a seller right now, you absolutely have to be smart about your pricing strategy. We are not in a time where, for example, because I've had this happen to me recently, the data shows that a house should probably list for $499,900. And so I present that data to the seller and they say, let's try $550,000 and leave some room for negotiation and we'll probably sell around $525,000. And unfortunately, your house sits dead in the water, because nobody looks at it, they know it's overpriced, and there are other ones and other options because there's lots of options right now, so that is not a good strategy right now. If you are a buyer, on the other hand, it is actually a great time to get in there because we're not in times of the bidding war situation. You have ample time for your due diligence and good conditions, such as home inspection, getting your financing in order, reviewing documents like a survey and hydro bills and things like that. And if you are blessed and you're in one of those circumstances where you could pick up either an investment property or a recreational property for yourself, prices are softer for sure than they were 5 years ago.
Okay. Now, put all of that aside.
All right. I'm going to clear my brain and see what you're going to hit me with next.
Okay. So put all of that aside. When you get people that are looking to leave the country, help me with that. So people have got to sell and do all these things. What do you help them with on that end? Because you can't sell in the U.S. You have a network of people, right?
Right.
So tell me about that. So well, let's talk about the network.
Being part of RE/MAX.
Well, that's what I mean.
Right. Makes you worldwide number one brand in the world.
Global.
When people think real estate, they think RE/MAX. I never have to tell. This is not meant to be a RE/MAX commercial, but I never, a little bit, but it's not. I never have to tell anybody what I do. You know, when I call and say, hi, is Sherry calling from RE/MAX? People are like, oh, yeah, okay, the real estate lady.
Yeah.
Like, there's no question about it. And so that gives me access to a worldwide network of people anywhere that could be moving. I'm going to take a little bit of a pivot with that, though. For sure, not my area of expertise, and I would not profess to make an area of expertise, but I do have a great connection to people who, you know their communities and their countries and their rules and their immigration and all that good stuff. So I confidently hook you up with anybody across the world being part of the RE/MAX network. Now, if you are leaving, though, more locally, I'm really also well connected with people who do things like auctions.
Yeah, well, that's where I was going. It's all the pieces. Thanks for filling in my questions.
It's okay.
And I know, just so everyone who is listening, I know there's hundreds of thousands of you, we didn't pre-plan any of these questions.
Nope.
Let's talk about that.
We're just really good at chatting.
Yeah, you have this great network of people that, this great team, but specifically when it's like house sold or something sold or max.
You're thinking max sold.
Something,
but
there's
between max sold and bid rush.
Sure.
So it's not something that I do.
No, I know, but
I have
people,
a lot of great friends who do it. So here's an example. We recently, here's actually a full story. A couple of years ago, I met with a couple of ladies who own a house and they were saying, one day we're going to want to sell.
Yeah.
So I went, met with them, gave them a market evaluation, built a relationship. They were lovely. That was probably about 3 years ago. Fast forward to about a month ago, they phoned me and said, okay, it's time that they are going to sell their house. Thankfully, they remembered me. I had stayed in touch and done all the good realtor things, so I was top of mind for them. And basically what they were saying is that they're planning to move to Alberta, and they needed to take nothing with them. And I remembered that they had more things than they probably should have had. And so I was going to need some assistance because I am not someone who specializes in decluttering and selling, doing the auctions and things like that. But I brought my friend Joanne Smith with me, who has also been on the show. And Joanne is fully skilled and qualified as an organization consultant and also an auction downsizer. So she patiently and quietly will sit down with people and sort of really go through everything where you come up with your, you know, donate, sell, recycle, whatever your piles are, getting people as much money as possible for them. It's interesting, though. Here's a little interesting real estate story, because I always like to kind of leave it on an interesting story, though. Is right in the middle of the meeting that Joanne and I were having with these ladies, they started to say, well, we haven't quite decided if we're going together or if we're getting divorced. And I'm not sure one had heard it previously. And we're not marriage counselors. And so we both went, whoa, wait a second. Please don't discuss right here and now whether or not you're going to get divorced. Because one looked pretty shocked. I know I came home and told you this story.
Yeah, absolutely.
And this is kind of the stuff that I come home and tell you. And you're like, what happened? But yeah, so we quietly sat back and let them have a little bit of a conversation. Because they literally in front of us was saying, like, do you love me? Do you want to go build a life with me still out west? And Joanne and I were like, I don't want to be here.
What if the answer is no, and I don't want to be here for this?
So anyways, it was an interesting patient moment where we just kind of sat there quietly and let them discuss. And then fortunately, one of them pulled them out of that rabbit hole and said, we should probably have this conversation privately.
Elsewhere, and I
made a joke being me. I was like, please do. Let us know where you land. But at the end of the day, if one was staying, then she was going to need a new place to live. And if the other one was going, then I was going to connect her up actually with, I do have a friend in Alberta, Ello, that does real estate out there. I met him at a Las Vegas conference through Vegas, and he's a fantastic realtor who actually helped our son one time try and buy a condo.
Yeah. Now, you've also, our niece is currently looking, and you know, we got nieces and nephews and everybody. So, you know, what would you do there if, you know, they needed somebody that's not in your area?
I will always do my very best to support anybody and assist them. Often you can get partners that will do things in different locations for you. So like showing partners and people like that.
Yeah.
So anybody can assist through the network and make sure that, you know, any family member that could be in the process or friend or anybody, I will just make sure that they get well connected.
Yeah. So she's moving from Ottawa and she's looking out west, right? So, you know.
Yeah, we'll get anybody where they want to be. Definitely well connected.
Perfect. Okay, well, we're almost wrapped up here, which is crazy.
I know.
And we've only talked about rentals this week for the most part.
We talked about a lot of things, actually.
Yeah, but mostly on the rental side, so which is great. And when you have in your guest next week, what are you going to be focusing on? Are you going to keep it quiet? Are you going to tell people?
No, I definitely just announced that he's going to be on the show.
No, but I mean, are you going to let people kind of give them a tidbit or we're going to do something?
I was thinking about, so one of the things is if you buy or sell a home with us or you refer us business, you become part of our VIP community.
Yeah.
And so basically, if you spend any time with myself and or Terry, you end up being Terry's buddy because people often will be like, oh, Terry's not along today, which is funny. However, I was thinking about reaching out to my VIP community to ask them what they'd like to ask them.
Oh,
so if they had
questions
the
from the community.
Right. What would you
that's
ask Mark Harrison?
That's a great
so
segue.
I will be doing that specifically for my VIP community, but I will also probably be putting it on social media and asking for input. Sorry, I've got a frog in my throat. And asking for input on social media as well. And I'm just literally chatting with people and asking anybody, what would you ask Mark Gerritsen if you had 30 minutes with him? And that's what I'm going to do next week.
All right. Well, thank you for having me on the show today. It's been fun.
It was super fun. So with that, Terry and I both wish you all your best finding your way home today.
I'm doing it all. I'm holding myself. I'm taking seeing someone, and now I get enough sleep. I'm pulling up weeds.
up at the moon. I've been looking a long time. What's your name? Am I ever gonna find you? Am I reading the wrong rhymes? Are you too far to hear? I've been talking a long time. Hope my message will find an ear.
That was the Los Angeles-based indie folk band Lord Huron with the song Is There Anybody Out There, which is from their 2025 album The Cosmic Selector Volume 1. A very unique sounding act, they've taken an old-time Western sonic lens to their output, creating songs that sound both radio-friendly and as though they belong on a spaghetti Western soundtrack. Now, the show opened with Salt Lake City, Utah native Joseph Lee Pollitt with July, a track from her 2023 full-length album In the Garden by the Weeds. Hello everyone, and welcome to No Chords Barred, a 90-minute show designed mostly to introduce listeners to artists they may not know, but at the same time drop in some songs by other artists that they should, putting mainstream, alternative, and independent artists side by side. I'm Donald Finnegan, the host and producer of the show, and finding music off the beaten path is a hobby of mine, one that goes back to my much younger days in the 1980s, when I immersed myself at the time into what was then referred to as the underground music scene. These days, with digital media having all but replaced tangible music forms, the search is a much easier one, but time-consuming nonetheless. So if I can save you some of that time by making the introductions to new artists for you, well, that just makes it time well spent. So let's continue on then, and start this next set with British folk singer Matthew Hegarty, who records as Matthew in the Atlas. From his 2023 album, This Place We Live, this is 19.
Smelt the roses. I never felt the same. I know my mind was made up. I never saw the change. When all the things that I had known
far from what I call home. The best I've been, the worst I've known. A second chance, the story's told. You hold it high, you make mistakes. The arms that burn, the lights that fade. To burn that bridge, the price you pay. The times are tough, I swear I got mine. I never smelt the roses. I never felt the change. I swore that it was over. The fire and the rain. November's always colder. December's dark and gray. Hold the signs delivered by all the minds of many kinds. It's in my brain to test my soul. The less I've been, the more I know. The moon has changed, the power is now. Turn my head, release my heart from everything. The darkness came, release me from this pain. And back to love, 'cause I've been holding on. How did we forget to be loved? When love is changed, I hope it's better. 'Cause I'm running desperate. I know you hold on to the things that you can't change. I swear I got time. When it's more than I can take. But it feels old, but it's familiar. It's tomorrow and today. It's then and now, it's you and I. Strength from all the other sides. The eyes that see, the sands that fade. The darkness reigns, the king of change. Before and now, the reasons fold. Less is more, so you've been told. The arms that reach, the grace of God. The eyes that blame, an open heart. The mind, the pain, it evens out. The more you dream, the less you doubt. The more I'm down, the less I'm out. Release me from this game. Back to love, 'cause I've been holding on. How did we forget to be loved? If love is change, now I hope it's better. 'Cause I'm running desperate. I know you hold on to the things that you can't change. Now back to love, 'cause I've been holding on. How did we forget to be loved? Love is change, and I hope it's better. 'Cause I'm running desperate. I know you hold on to the things that you can't change. That you can't change.
Built on teenage dreams, the well you dug for sinking things. Your words to kill are evergreen, so you must not feel anything at all. But how'd you get so bulletproof? You trade your time for inside truth, trade your time for any clue of what to do or not to do. Hate to say it's nothing new, aside from those few girls you keep around. Twist the knife with a smile while you kill me. Then you ask me to dance if there's someone around. You don't look the same when I look at you now. Mm-hmm.
fearful fantasy. Bored the one, there's poison in it. Disregard my disposition. Proof is in subtle things. Your eggshell floor is splintering now. And it freaks me out. I'm old enough to know you as a gateway drug. You're everything I'll never be. Live to look for enemies. I have to bet that's lonely. Could leave you with an empty house. Twist the knife, smile while you kill me. Then you ask me to dance. If there's someone around, you don't look the same when I look at you now. And I used to pretend that it didn't feel evil. You're light of a million suns burst through people and bridges and cities till ash covers ground. A breath of your air is a death. You're forcing my hand, but I'm a drop in your ocean. I ruined your plans, some grand self-promotion. The second you figured that I figured you out, now you look away when I look at you now. Look at you now. Look at
I can't forget that night. You said I look like Susie Quattro in the morning light. Faded to oblivion, and I said that's alright. At least we feel alive. At least we feel alive. There's nothing you can do. I know that I want this. No.
That was British model, actress, and musician Suki Waterhouse with Moves, a track from her 2022 album I Can't Let Go. Now before her was Gracie Abrams with Death Wish from her 2026 album Daughter from Hell, and Montreal-based The Franklin Electric with The Roses, a track from their 2025 EP Something More. London, England-based Matthew and the Atlas began the set with the song 19 from their 2023 full-length album This Place We Live. This is No Chords Barred, hosted by me, Donald Finnegan, and I'll be right back with more music after this short break.
Hey, we're Girl Dad, and you're listening to
CFRC
101.9 FM.
Welcome back to No Chords Barred. Up next, we have the Toronto-based pop rock trio Valley. Juno nominated, they formed in 2014 after meeting when the bands they were in at the time accidentally were double booked for the same time slot at a recording studio. Now how's that for serendipity? From their 2024 album Water the Flowers, Pray for a Garden, this is A Little More.
I'm an angel in the dark. I've been around the world with an arrow through my heart. I spent some wishes on the stars. Mary, come around, go right back to the start. Ooh, gotta pull myself together, baby. Feeling like a broken record lately. I'm an angel in the dark. Hey, it's a losing game when you win it like a fraud. It's like every time I walk away, I get a little bit out the door. A little more. A little more love. Cara, play me something on the drums. Woo. Let's dance to everywhere, yeah, cause you make loving fun. I loaded flowers in a gun. I've been a little crooked, eh? It could happen to anyone. Gonna pull myself together. Hey, it's a losing game. Every time I walk away, I get a little bit out the door. And that melody pulls me back, the feeling that I used to have. And I fall a little bit more, a little more. Until a memory brings me back. Me and Alex had a laugh. Don't you know I always got your back? A little more.